The beat. Right, and welcome to the Beat Podcast. I'm MJ here with BD.
Hello.
And this is an update of the NBA Finals. Four games have been played. Series is tied 2-2 to the dismay of me. A lot of good stuff going on. As a Cavs fan, I'm excited that they actually have a chance and that, as Shaq would say, you need a 1-2 punch to win the championship, and Dellavedova has been that second player. So for me, as it stands right now, on the Cavs side, Dellavedova would be the story, because you know what LeBron James brings to the table. You know the scoring, the rebounds, the assists. You know, he's basically going to do it all, but you need that second option, and Dellavedova has really surprised. But it's just been a great series so far. What are your thoughts, BD?
A lot more interesting than I thought initially, especially after Game 1, when Golden State won, even with Kyrie Irving being there, obviously being injured at the end of the game. The thought, well, going into Game 2, you know, because it was a close game with Kyrie Irving, you know, Golden State was still able to win, and they destroyed him in overtime.
Yeah.
So I thought, all right, well, going into Game 2 and on, it was going to be an easy win, so it looked like it might have even been a sweep or, you know, a five-game series, and Golden State was going to take it so easily from Cleveland. But it's been obviously different, the much more competitive series than anyone could have anticipated, especially after Kyrie Irving went down.
Exactly. You know, one of the things that goes through my head is, like, how scary would the Cavs be with Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving? Because they're this good without them. Even if they don't win another game, they've won two games against a great team. And really, you know, this Cavs team has been just put together this year. Three key players who see serious minutes for the Cavs: Iman Shumpert, J.R. Smith, and Timofey Mozgov. They've only played for Cavs half of the regular season.
Sure.
And the core of the Golden State Warriors has been together for a few years now, so it's pretty impressive to me.
Yeah, definitely. Wouldn't have expected them. I mean, I guess you could have said, since the East is a lot weaker than the West, beginning of the season, you could have expected them to at least make it to the finals. I thought that they wouldn't. I didn't think that they would be able to beat Chicago, but obviously they did. But to be this competitive, even, you know, not having Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving, is very impressive.
Yeah, I mean, they've sort of had the next man up philosophy. Basically, no excuses. You know, if one guy goes down, you know, no excuses. Next guy's got to step up. And that's what they've done. And Dellavedova has played out of his mind. It's not just the scoring. It's not just the stats. It's the hustle. He's getting to all the loose balls, at least in the two Cavaliers wins. He's played phenomenal defense against Stephen Curry.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I always say is, you know, you'll see NBA players have great games, like Dellavedova's had those two wins for the Cavs in the finals. Being an all-star is about consistency. So if Dellavedova could play that way for 82 regular season games, he would be an NBA all-star. So hopefully he can continue that in the finals, because obviously after those two wins, Golden State's aware of, you know, what he's capable of. Probably, you know, it's not necessarily going to be any easier for him, especially with the Cavs' short rotation.
Well, a few more positives, I think, for Cleveland is that, you know, even, I think, well, at least for LeBron, you know, if he doesn't win it this year, I think one of the reasons why he's playing so well is that a lot of the pressure has been taken off of him in a way, because, you know, when you lose two, your second and third best players, right, you know, no one keeps all that pressure on you. So,
yeah.
Well, you still have to win because, I mean, you know, if Michael Jordan had lost you know, Scottie Pippen wouldn't have as much pressure on him, same with other great players. So maybe that's one of the reasons why he's been able to play a lot better. And obviously he's had to, and he's capable of that since, you know, he is the best in the world and has been since, you know, maybe 2011, since kind of Kobe passed the torch, whether he wanted to or not. And I think also, you know, the rest of the team, knowing that this is it, if you don't, you know, a few games away, I think they've been able to bond, I think, a lot better and just play so well as a team. So even if they don't win this year, which they have a good chance of that, but even if they don't, I think that will make them so much better next year.
Definitely.
When they have both Kyrie and Kevin Love back, these guys will know how to play well when some of those guys are off the floor resting, you know, or with just one of the superstars, they'll be able to contribute in other ways. I mean, there's no better learning experience than in the finals. So
exactly.
So it could be a really good growing experience for the rest of the role players.
I agree. So basically, they both won two. So those games pretty much cancel each other out. Now it's the best of three.
Right.
What do you think, BD?
Well, some of the negatives for Cleveland, I think, obviously it's been four games. They've all been tough. I was impressed with Game 3 and how Cleveland was able to win and control pretty much the entire game. Game 2, however, you know, I know they won it in overtime, but to be honest, I think that, and they did play well. I mean, they showed up and, you know, obviously LeBron had an amazing game and the rest of the team supported him, but to be honest, I think the reason that Golden State didn't win had more to do with Steph Curry's worst game of the season,
mm-hmm.
definitely of the playoffs and of the finals, but of the regular season as well. And it took that, and it was still an overtime close game. Game 3 kind of continued, where he played really poorly also, but Cleveland knew how to, you know, at this point, how to kind of guard him and make things difficult. And then, of course, in this last game, Golden State adjusted, and Steph Curry and the rest of the guys were able to. I mean, he had a much better game. So now it's a best of three. I think they figured out, you know, made some adjustments, figured out how to play Cleveland, and Steph Curry is playing better, as is, you know, Andre Iguodala. I mean, he played amazing in Game 4. So I don't know if I was a Cavs fan, I'd be a little bit more worried than if I was a Warriors fan. And obviously because you have both of your superstars, two of the next three games are at home, you've got the momentum, you're going home, and Steph Curry seems to be getting, you know, his shots going in. And I think that the biggest downside for Cleveland is, you know, this will now be LeBron's, it's Game 5, but it'll be his fourth game where he has to do pretty much everything. And we saw, obviously, Andre Iguodala played amazingly great defense on LeBron. But I think a big part of that is, and I don't want to take much away from Andre, because he did do a great job, but, I mean, part of that was LeBron had to have been exhausted.
Yeah.
Because that was their third game where he had to do that, and it takes its toll on you. So I think those are some of the big downsides for Cleveland and upsides for Golden State, that we have to win two, so do they, but the advantage is, you know, we have two home games. And LeBron's going to keep getting more and more tired as the series progresses, which all plays into Golden State's favor. I don't know, what do you think?
Andre Iguodala has gotten better as the series has progressed. All season he's been a bench player because Steve Kerr thought it would give them some added depth from the bench. But that doesn't mean he's not talented enough to be a starter. You know, it's just one of those things that happens when you have a championship team.
But it's kind of like, sorry to interrupt, but kind of like how Lamar Odom came off the bench for the Lakers. You know, obviously on most teams he would have been a starter, but and it worked out fine for them. And it has, I guess, worked out for the Warriors pretty well all season, but playing against LeBron, sometimes you got to use some different strategies.
Yeah, I think they feel like right now he's so important they can't really afford to not start him. You know, and this obviously helps tremendously. One thing that's really impressed me is Cleveland's defense, because Golden State is such a high-scoring team, high-volume shooting team. After four games, one thing I take away is that Golden State is not going to be able to put up the numbers they have against other teams in the regular season and in the playoffs because of Cleveland's defense. But they definitely improved a lot in Game 4, You know, I'm with BD. LeBron James definitely looks worn down. Just looking at his body language, he actually looks a little bit frustrated, is what I picked up on. For instance, I've seen him, you know, basically pass it in the post to Timofey Mozgov because he's trying to get other players going and getting other players involved besides him trying to go, you know, one-on-one all the time. And I think him and Timofey Mozgov passed it back and forth two or three times. But, you know, this is it. You know, you got to lay it all on the line. And obviously everybody's tired. LeBron James is the best player, you know, in basketball right now, actively. You know, I'm sure he's tired, but he's just got to, you know, he's got to be a one-man wrecking crew if necessary. You know, obviously you want other players to step up, but when you're the best player on your team and you're one of the best players ever, really, he's got to just keep fighting, and he's got to maybe even go for just career numbers. For instance, Michael Jordan back in the day versus Larry Bird, 63 or 69?
63.
63.
69 was against Cleveland in the regular season.
63 against Larry Bird and the Boston Celtics. No scrubs there.
Right.
And, you know, basically Michael Jordan was in a similar predicament. You know, maybe some good players, but not, you know, not on the same, not even close to the same level as him. And he just had to take the game into his own hands. And, you know, it's really hard, but you know, that's really what LeBron has to do. And he's just got to, you know, if you lose, but just put it all on the line, you know, live or die by just doing it all yourself if necessary. I think the extra day off will help the Cavs a lot.
Sure.
One thing they've been talking about in the news is digging in to the Cavs' depth a little bit more, playing seven guys.
I was really surprised by that, especially after you've had Kyrie go down in game one. Yeah, seven guys. I didn't even realize that. You know, that's not enough, I think, especially if LeBron has to play such high minutes and do so much. You want to be able to give him time to rest, especially, you know, the end of the half or when at the end of the first quarter. I don't know, seven guys, that's going to be able to get it done. Because like you said, you know, Mike Miller, right? He's a great player. I mean, he helped the Heat and LeBron win a championship. You should at least put him in. I think maybe at least a minimum of one or two more guys so that others can get the rest that they need.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, playing guys in garbage time in the last 2 minutes of a game that's not, they don't have a chance to win, doesn't count at all.
Yeah.
My biggest one I would try to utilize is Mike Miller. He's had career numbers in a Miami Heat uniform and actually won games. There's one game legitimately that Mike Miller won for the Miami Heat in the finals. And that's just like, I mean, really you could say more than one, but he's a big time shooter. He's a veteran. Even if his numbers haven't been great, sometimes that's just from not getting a lot of minutes to be warmed up and things like that. Really, the Cavaliers need more players to give guys rests. And, you know, Mike Miller is a big-time three-point shooter. I would definitely try to put him in the game. When you get to the NBA Finals, the veteran players can always make a big difference, even if they haven't been playing well all season. You know, I remember Gary Payton in 2006 for the Miami Heat when they played the Dallas Mavericks. He did not necessarily have a great season and didn't see a lot of minutes, but he hit key shots in the finals, which helped put them over the top.
Which I hated.
So you never count out the veterans, especially. And, you know, you've got a guy like Mike Miller with a proven track record. You know, you got to utilize them. And I would say even maybe... I know they have a lot of depth already with Timofey Mozgov and Tristan Thompson, but Kendrick Perkins is no scrub.
I can't believe they haven't played him.
Yeah, and I know he's a little bit undersized, maybe, but
he
still.
Helped Boston win championships, and he was part of that Boston team that knocked out Cleveland many times.
Yeah, he's a blue-collar guy. I mean, I would think he would help them get, you know, get some minutes in there.
Yeah, I mean, he played against Pau Gasol and Andrew Bynum, you know, when the Lakers played the Celtics. I mean, he's got a lot of experience. He's been to the finals multiple times. He's been a champion. And he's definitely somebody that could help.
Exactly, you know. And a few other things I've noticed is, I remember last year the Spurs put on a clinic. I mean, they just put on a basketball clinic and just dominated the Heat. And, like, the widest overall points margin of victory. And it was amazing. This series is definitely not going to be like that. Both Golden State Warriors and Cavs are arguably the two best defenses in the NBA. I was a little bit worried early on that the Cavaliers were going to do too much ISO basketball with LeBron, which is just bad basketball. The thought process is, let's put the ball in the best player's hand 90% of the time, you know, and he can score and that'll help us win. But what really happens is the other players don't get touches, so they're rusty, you know, they're not warmed up in the flow of the game. And then you're wearing down your all-star. You know, it's just not good basketball. You know, you are...
It's worked well for Carmelo.
I mean, you are going to use heavy isolation, but you have to mix it up. It didn't work for Carmelo. And, you know, I remember Mike D'Antoni was putting Kobe on an island and letting him do ISO a lot. And Kobe's good enough to do that, but is it going to win, you know, is it going to make them a better team? I'm not sure. Kobe got injured, and the thought process of ISO basketball just never, ever wins. You know, you do it sparingly. You're obviously going to do it, but some of these coaches go way overboard, and no championship team ever won playing ISO basketball. So I never understood that thought process, and why waste your time?
Sure.
Yeah, and then also, I'm just like, for me as a Cavs fan, I'm just really excited that the Cavs actually have a chance, because obviously you lose Kyrie Irving in game one, you know, you feel your heads are low at that point. You already lost Kevin Love, so now you're losing another player who can score 20 to 30 points a game and obviously give LeBron a lot of relief. So as a Cavs fan, even if they don't win, you got to be sitting pretty happy, because they're going to get two All-Stars back next year if Kevin Love stays with the team, which I think he will. And they've done this good without them. You know, you're pretty happy, I think.
Yeah, that's true. So, I don't know, so I guess it's a best of three series. If I had to make some picks, since, you know, talked about it being a much longer series now, and it'll have to go at least a minimum of six games, I don't know, I think with how, you know, worn out LeBron has been and some of the adjustments that Golden State has made, I don't know if it's going to go to seven or six, but I definitely think Golden State will win game five, and then I don't know if they'll have what it takes, or if Cleveland will be able to rally and win back in Cleveland game six, and then they'll have to go to game seven, or if Golden State will finish them off in Cleveland. But I'm picking Golden State, and I don't know if it'll have to go to game six or seven. I guess we'd have to see how well Cleveland plays in this next game. If it's a blowout, and, you know, Golden State has just figured out, all right, we know how to limit LeBron's effectiveness, and he's just so worn out, and then, you know, Steph Curry doesn't have horrible shooting nights. Not that the great Cavs defense won't have an effect on him, but just if he misses, like, in game two, so many open shots.
Yeah.
That should have gone in, like, a lot of them he missed. Not just, like, one or two, but, like, at least seven or eight, by my count, which would have obviously destroyed the Cavs. Then I think they'll finish him off in Cleveland in game six. But if it's a close, grind-out one, and, you know, Cleveland shows some signs of life, then I could say we'll have to go to game seven, and then, you know, obviously game seven, anybody's,
yeah,
you know, can win. But I'll say, you know, depending on what happens there, Golden State wins easy in game five. They'll finish him off in game six. If it's a close one, then game seven, Golden State. How about you?
My mind says Golden State. My heart says Cleveland.
It's hard not, because, I mean, they're such an underdog and they're playing so well. It's difficult to go against them. And there were times where I was like, man, go Cleveland. Even though I like Golden State a little bit more than Cleveland.
Yeah. I mean, I really want Cleveland to win, but I think as the series goes on, it definitely favors Golden State with their depth, their experience. So obviously, I hope that the series doesn't go to seven games.
Right. What are you looking for in game five from Cleveland?
Well, obviously, LeBron has got to have a bigger impact than what he did in Game 4. And really, I know it is hard to have to do everything, but really, he's just got to lay it all out there and give everything again. They're going to definitely need Dellavedova to step it up again. See, that was what my big worry with Dellavedova when they won Games 2 and 3 were, is the consistency factor, because he had two great games, and maybe, you know, this could be a sign for next year that maybe he's a future all-star. But, you know, it takes 82 regular season games of playing like that to be an all-star. And Dellavedova, you know, they really need him. So I'm hoping that he can consistently bring what he brought in games 2 and 3.
And I guess Golden State's going to have to continue to put a lot of pressure on LeBron.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that strategy of what they said in, you know, after they won game 1 was let him score and make things difficult for the rest. Maybe right now it's better to put more pressure on him, make it more difficult for him, and then let these other guys who aren't, you know, stars try to figure things out. And yeah, I think that's kind of what the strategy was in game 4. Put tons of pressure on him so that he can help them. And then we saw that after, you know, sometime in the third quarter, they just started to fall apart.
And that's where guys like Mike Miller and James Jones come into play. Yeah. If they can hit open threes, they can force the Golden State Warriors to not put so much pressure on LeBron.
Right.
And then LeBron can have an easier time trying to score.
Right. And maybe having like J.R. Smith and Mike Miller in at the same time with LeBron might help, because then you have possibly two potent three-point shooters in the game that can make big shots. And then that, you know, making one or two, either to, you know, bring the lead closer or take the lead or, you know, tie the game, can rally the other guys.
Right.
So that would be, I think that's one of the things that I think he could bring, Mike Miller could bring to Cleveland in the next three games, if it goes that many, but at least the next two games.
And on the Golden State Warriors side, we've touched on it a little bit. Stephen Curry's played solid. You know, I don't think we'll see the numbers we saw earlier against other teams, but Andre Iguodala, as we've mentioned, has played huge.
Yeah, he's so important now.
Yeah. We've touched on it, but is there one big key maybe you see for Golden State Warriors? Or
I mean, for them, they need to just kind of play how they have been earlier in the season, you know, create as much spacing for the, you know, for Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, so they can get as many either long-range shots, open shots, and threes. And then, obviously, the big one is Andre Iguodala should play more minutes and obviously be the primary defender on LeBron. And you know, so that's going to be, I think, the key for him, because he doesn't have to score, I think, when he had 20 or 22 points.
Yeah.
You know, as long as he gets around, you know, 10 to 15, that should be enough. But if he can play good minutes, and even if LeBron scores 30 or 40, as long as he's taking a lot of shots and taking, you know, bad shots to get them or tough shots, then that's fine. You can live with that, because that makes it, you know, makes him more tired, and that means that, you know, they're having to just take more bad shots. So that limits what other guys can do. They're not involved as much.
Yeah. And you can definitely see how in the finals, these are just two great defensive teams. They've barely broke 100. They've only done it three times, Cleveland once and Golden State twice. But Golden State's a high volume shooting team and a high scoring team. You know, they're not getting to that 120 mark or anything like that.
Yeah, 103 points for them isn't that high.
And even game 4, when they got to, you know, 103, a lot of that, I mean, they were dominating, but some of that's just from garbage time minutes too.
Sure.
But yeah, I mean, Stephen Curry is just phenomenal. When he gets it going, he's just so scary. He shoots three-pointers like they're 15-foot jump shots, and hopefully he does not do that too much in the last three games, but obviously he's never going to go away, so hopefully they can just continue to put a lot of bodies on him. Tristan Thompson's done a really good job for a power forward, being a versatile defender, helping Dellavedova when necessary. And that's where the length of Cleveland really helps. one of the things that the NBA has gotten away from is playing big players, the bigs, the centers, the seven-footers, because I don't really follow trends, but the trend is, you know, you put in more skilled players, and that's more effective. And really, I always felt like it's not about playing bigs or playing small or playing a certain way. It's just about playing the best players. With Cleveland, they're more of a throwback to the 90s when you had a lot of great centers, because they actually play big and they do it very well, and they show you you can play big in the NBA and win.
I mean, the Lakers won.
Yeah.
With a lot of big guys.
Like the Lakers and their championships.
So just recently, I mean, not obviously historically, but just in the last, you know, 5 or 6 years, they were able to dominate and win two in a row with you know, the big guys.
That's Pau Gasol.
Right. That's what their big advantage was, Lamar, Pau, and Bynum. So, and the last thing that I wanted to talk about is with respect to, you know, LeBron, it's obviously you feel bad if he doesn't win this year, since it's really not fair that both of his, you know, teammates went down, the two superstars. But, you know, we talked about it before we knew that Kyrie would go down when they had a legitimate shot to win, even though they weren't the favorites, and what that will mean for his career, a legacy. It's kind of sad that if he has to, I mean, he obviously has a chance to win, and if he does, I think it's going to propel him a lot.
Because, definitely.
You know, beating a great team like that, by yourself, in a way,
without
much help from any other great players, is going to boost his rankings up really well. But he doesn't win, which you can't blame him this year. But it is going to hurt his legacy, because he'll be, you know, out of 6 finals appearances, he'll only win 2 championships. And then when you compare him to guys like Shaq, you know, so Shaq, for example, has been to the finals also 6 times, but he's won 4. It's going to hurt his legacy, because and he's had an amazing finals. Even Game 4, he played fine. It's just, you know, you got to expect him to have 20 points, and the amount of rebounds and assists he had is not a horrible game. It's just, you know, not as great as he did in Games 2 and 3, which is understandable. I don't know. I think it's going to kind of really make things difficult for him to catch up to, you know, some of his contemporaries like Kobe and Tim and Shaq. So I don't know, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm with you.
If he loses, which
definitely,
you know, there's still a chance that he'll win.
Yeah, it's definitely sucks as a basketball fan. No, it doesn't matter how good you are. Michael needed Scottie, Shaq needed Kobe. You know, obviously you just got to have that 1-2 punch, or you've just got to be a phenomenal team like the Detroit Pistons. But obviously that's a losing track record in the finals, and it would sort of take a dynasty to overcome that. But I'm an optimist for the Cavs. I actually think they do have a chance at a dynasty.
And they are in the East.
Yeah.
So, sure.
Especially because if Dellavedova can play close to what he's played in Games 2 and Games 3 for a whole season, and then you bring back Kyrie Irving, Kevin Love, Timofey Mozgov, J.R. Smith, and Iman Shumpert, you know, that's a pretty deadly team. So, yeah, it would probably take a dynasty to overcome that losing record.
Yeah, I'd have to win at least 2 or 3 in a row, but
yeah,
that's a lot of finals appearances.
And I think that actually, you know, David, we've talked about this, but David Blatt actually, you know, you got to give credit where credit's due, and he does make mistakes every once in a while. Like right now, he's sort of being scrutinized for maybe not playing enough in the rotation. And he also got scrutinized for maybe playing Kyrie Irving too many minutes. I think that's a tough call, because on one hand, you don't play Kyrie Irving enough minutes and you lose. People criticize you for not playing him. And then you play him 1 too many minutes and you win, and then he gets injured. So that's just a tough situation.
I think if they had Kevin Love, he would have played Kyrie less. So you can't blame him too much for that.
I really think that, you know, if they win, you generally don't go away from winning formula, so continue to be the head coach. But if they lose, you know, I think they should fire him. Even though he's done a good job, he really has done a good job. But I would bring in a guy, maybe Mark Jackson or somebody,
Mike Brown?
No, not him. But I don't know. I feel like, for instance, I think he's done a great job. The one complaint I really have is that he didn't really utilize Kevin Love. And I think maybe a more experienced NBA coach would know how to utilize Kevin Love's skills. It is tough, though, because it's sort of the same exact situation as Miami Heat. Kyrie Irving is the point guard, and he's a scoring point guard. LeBron James is going to have the ball the other percentage of amounts, whatever it is, and he's going to score a lot. And it was sort of the same way in Miami. Dwayne Wade and LeBron James both demand the ball 90% of the time, and then Chris Bosh becomes an afterthought. And it doesn't help that Chris Bosh wasn't a traditional big man. He was more of a 15-foot jump shooter. Kevin Love is a guy who, you know, he moves without the ball and things like that, and he sort of relies on being fed by the point guard. You know, my hope would be that a different and more seasoned NBA coach would be able to utilize his talents, because they have so much talent on the Cavs. They could probably win if the team was healthy, you know, in the next couple years without utilizing Kevin Love a lot. But it's really just a shame for a guy who's almost able to score 30 points a game to not be utilized in an offense.
But yeah, it's always bad if you underutilize a great player. It's kind of what we always joke around about. Forget his name now.
Mike D'Antoni.
Mike D'Antoni. When he said that, you know, when he took out Pau Gasol a few times and they asked him, why is it? Because I want to win. And just not finding a way to be able to utilize Dwight Howard, one of the best centers, if not the best center in the game, with a two-time NBA champion who's been to the finals three times, it's just, I don't know, we always say that's just so stupid.
Yeah, what do we do?
Not that we know more about basketball than him, but it's just, I don't understand how a guy like Phil Jackson and Greg Popovich, I mean, being able to utilize Tim Duncan and David Robinson, how you couldn't utilize those two guys. You want to win if you take in, because one was a power guy, the other one was a finesse. Bringing it back to Cleveland, yeah, any time that you underutilize a star, or, you know, in a system as a coach, I think that's definitely not good. So if that is a big issue, then I would say, you know, need to look into that for the coach. But if it's just because he's inexperienced, then I don't think that's a good enough reason, personally. Because he's done a great job, especially with not having Kevin Love for, you know, the second and third rounds of the playoffs and in the finals. But he'll definitely need to address that in the offseason, win or lose. Because if you plan on winning a lot of championships, or another one if they win this year, you'll need Kevin Love as a part of your rotation.
And this is sort of side topic, but this is what I don't understand about the NBA. Is why do you not have a defensive coordinator? I mean, you don't always need it, but like, for instance, Mike D'Antoni, there's no question that he's not a great defensive coach.
Right.
Players have said it in a nice way, a politically correct way, but he's just not a defensive coach. So why, instead of denying your weakness, why not just have a defensive coordinator, you know? It just doesn't make any sense. Why would you not have a defense coordinator if you're not a good defensive coach?
Just
admit your weakness and make the team better.
Yeah, you should always address your weaknesses and figure out how to, even if you can't overcome them, at least make them less, strengthen them somewhat, so that even though you're not going to be a great defensively minded individual and you'll never have great defensive teams, at least better than, you know, being ranked in the bottom 10.
And Mike D'Antoni brought a Euro style of coaching. It's high octane, fast paced offense. And that works for a certain roster, but it doesn't work for all rosters. You know, in the NBA, there's too many, the defense is just, there's a lot more emphasis on defense in the NBA than there is in EuroLeague.
And especially in the finals.
Yeah.
And playoffs.
And you gotta have some type of solid defensive strategy. And the last thing I got to mention is Stephen A. Smith went on a rant the other night about how they glued LeBron James' head together.
Yeah.
And I just have to say, I recently had a minor surgery on my arms. And really, you know, Stephen A. Smith's rant to me is just a little bit ridiculous, because that's sort of the new technology they're doing now, is putting glue instead of stitches. I'm not an expert on it. I think the reason they do it is because it leaves less of a scar. But that was just an unfair rant, because that's just the new technology. It's not like they were treating LeBron any less or anything. He was getting good. He was getting taken care of good. I know personally from just having a minor surgery that they're trying to use, even though it does sound silly just hearing it, but they're using a glue a lot more. So, you know, I just think that's pretty much irrelevant. And by the way, kudos to LeBron, because who would have thought you would, I mean, the guy looks like it looks like there's going to be like a mark in his hairline where he's missing hair from hitting that camera. Who would have thought you can hit a camera that hard and, you know, kept playing and stuff? That must have been tough.
Yeah, and we were kind of, I mean, I was saying have concussion. A good thing he didn't actually have one. So that was, because that would have just been horrible for Cleveland.
Right.
Right, all three guys go down.
Yeah, they can't afford to lose anybody at this point. If a guy's injured, he's just got to hop on the court or something. They can't afford to lose anybody. But anyway, that's just our update for the NBA Finals. Three games left at the most. I think we're both in the same consensus that Game 5 is big. I think it's especially big for Cleveland because they've got less experienced players with less time together. I think Game 5 is a must-win for Cleveland if they want to beat the Golden State Warriors. But we'll find out tomorrow. All right, so I'm MJ.
And I'm BD.
Go Cavs, baby.
Go NBA.